So while you're listening, you're sitting in meditation as well, developing your mindfulness. So sati is this quality of mindfulness or recollection. And then sampajanya, it's an all-round knowing, a thorough knowing. So when we say to sit and meditate, the meaning of that is that we develop our mindfulness, so that we have this sila, samadhi, and panya. We could say panya, sila, samadhi. So this panya, it's right view. So we already have some degree of right view already in our minds, knowing that if we don't train our minds, then we'll experience a lot of agitation and chaos. Because the mind that is lacking in wisdom always has this avijja, delusion, constantly in control of it. And so then when it receives any sensory experience, so when it perceives a sight or a sound, tastes, odor, tactile sensation, this is what we call aramana, or they're the dhamma aramanas, these mental objects which appear within the mind itself. So when the mind receives those, experiences those, then there'll be delusion. That delusion goes into attachment. And so in this case, happiness may arise, but this kind of happiness is the cause for suffering. It's not genuine peace. So then we experience inner turmoil. And if it's turmoil to just one degree, we're able to still live in this world. But if our mindfulness is too weak, then problems arise within the heart, and we can develop an illness of depression, for example. So therefore we need to train our hearts, and this is something which is really important, because the mind which has been trained well brings happiness. So when we have panya, this wisdom, then we'll see the dangers and the drawbacks of a mind which is agitated. So then we come to study. We can listen to teachings or read books for the sake of finding a path of practice. So when we meet with this noble truth of suffering, then we seek a way out of that suffering. We find a teacher who has knowledge and understanding and is able to explain in line with what that teacher has experienced themselves. So then we practice following those teachings. And really, it's not difficult to do that. But what makes it difficult is that our minds have not yet accepted the teachings of the Buddha. The mind still is in an unawakened state. It still has ignorance in it. And this ignorance provides a constant obstruction for us. So therefore we need to be developing our mindfulness. Try to be cultivating this, to have mindfulness a lot, whether standing, walking, sitting, lying down, whether speaking, listening, eating, drinking, to be mindful. And this already is the correct way. But when we try out a means of practice, but we don't succeed in that, then we can start wondering and think, well, this way, it's not correct. So I want to go off and to just live by myself and practice very strictly, be in a place where I don't have to meet with anyone, to do anything, to be in a very quiet place where I can just be still. And so they go off and try that. But when they don't succeed in that as well, then there's a lot of inner disturbance and agitation that comes up. And so they don't understand that the defilements are within them. And when they go off to this quiet place, they're taking the defilements with them as well. And so they go off there, and there isn't any peace or ease there. You can compare it to being like an animal that has a skin disease. And this disease is kind of eating away and causing great itchiness to its skin. So if it goes to stay under a tree, it's not at ease. If it goes out into the open, it's not at ease, because it has this illness in its own skin. And so that illness, we can say, is wrong view. So if we stay by ourselves, then there's chaos. If we stay with many people, there's chaos. And that's because our views are incorrect. So we need then to train our minds to give them right view. So to get this samadhi, right view, we use the means of a meditation object, a kamatana, to do that. To always be looking after our minds, caring for our mindfulness. Whatever posture we're in, always try to maintain our mindfulness there. And to do this as much as we're able to do it. If we notice that our thoughts have gone out, then when we're aware of that, we try to pull our mindfulness back in. Bring it back to the breath, bring it back to this object of Buddha. And initially this can be quite hard going. Maybe we sit for 30 minutes and the mind is still agitated and chaotic. But still we try, sit in meditation, really try to keep the mind with an object. So recollect the good virtues of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, for instance, or develop a heart of loving kindness and spread that kindness. You know, we practice as an offering to the Buddha. And perhaps if we just sit quietly in meditation, the mind is very scattered and unsettled. So we can try putting on a Dhamma tape and listening to that as well. And so when we do that, then our hearts are receiving the Dhamma, and we're also having an awareness over our breath as well. And when the mind starts to become peaceful already, then we can turn off that Dhamma tape. So if we sit while listening to the Dhamma, there may be a great joy that comes up within the heart, and the mind can settle into peace. So we're listening to the Dhamma for the sake of giving rise to inner calm and for the emergence of wisdom. So if we do this and the mind comes into peace, then it's fine for us to do that. And starts becoming peaceful, then we can turn off that tape and just be aware of our breath after that. So maybe we sit in meditation and listen to a Dhamma talk for 30 minutes. And then for the last 10 minutes, we just sit in quiet and stillness, because that peace has arisen already. And even though it's not easy for inner peace to arise, still we should put in our efforts to do that, to bring up this quality of persistence and effort, to be abandoning all things which are harmful, unskillful, to be developing the meritorious and the skillful, bringing the mind to brightness and clarity. So this requires effort for us to do that, for us to be looking after and caring for our mind well. If it starts becoming distracted, going off to different places, and then we try to bring that back. So on occasions, the Buddha taught for people to recollect the objects of kesa, loma, naka, danta, tacho, so hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin, to be using these meditation words as a means to cultivate the mind. And we can go through all 32 parts of the body in 5 parts at a time, be reciting 5, and then the next 5, and then the next 5, until the mind starts becoming peaceful. So when we carry on doing that without stop, then we can reduce it to just kesa, loma, naka, danta, tacho. And then as it becomes more peaceful than just tacho, tacho, tacho. Or we can recite atikang patikulang, that the bones are unclean. And this can bring about stillness through the means of these meditation words or mantras. We recite Buddha, Dhammo, Sangho, for instance, until that meditation word just goes of its own accord. And when we can keep the mind with that word, or that word just disappears, then the mind is Buddha at that time. That there's a knowing in the mind. There's an inner joyousness. And that's the mind in samadhi. So initially, this joyfulness that comes up is the joyfulness of samadhi. So these are ways of using our wisdom to bring about samadhi, bring about the mind which is firm and stable, having mindfulness which is firm and stable as well. And when we do that, then we'll begin to gain an understanding into the truth. So we should come to learn and study. And what is it that we learn about? Or we should ask, what things are we deluded about? Because the understanding that we have has been incorrect for a long time. And take this body, for example. And this is something which is unstable and constant, something which is dukkang. And what dukkang means is a thing which is not able to maintain its state, that is dukkang. And so the body must change. You see how if we sit for a long time, then it's dukkang, that there's this pain, the suffering that arises. So we don't see that within the body. We don't see how the body is dukkha because we're changing our posture all the time. If we think that lying down is really nice, then can try lying down for very long periods. And we'll see the dukkha arise there. So we have to be changing our posture all the time. That if we stand for a long time, then that's painful. If we walk for a long time, then there are problems that come up. If we sit for a long time, then that's uncomfortable. So this conditioned body is dukkha. It's stressful, it's suffering. If we don't eat, that's dukkha. If we don't drink water, that's dukkha. So this collection of changing elements of earth, water, fire, and air is dukkha. And it's also anatta, and that it's not a self. That this body is composed of these various elements, but we take that to be a self. When those elements come together, we take that to be a self. But if we split them out again, then what's left? It's just elements, it's just earth, water, fire, and air. And then in the end, there's nothing left, just elements following the ways of nature. So we can see anatta, not self, here. But currently our minds are deluded. They're deluded, thinking that the body is something beautiful, But really, it's just natural elements. So it's not beautiful, and it's also not unattractive as well. But the reason, and so seeing it as being something beautiful is incorrect, but the reason we bring up the asupa perception, trying to see it as unattractive, is in order to bring our minds to peace so that they can understand that this body is just composed of natural elements and that it's not beautiful. So to see the nature of the body, to see how it's anicca, dukkha, anatta, this unstable, stressful, and not self thing. So when this wisdom arises already, then we will see that. So some people are skilled at contemplation, and in that case you should contemplate a lot. Take your mindfulness to contemplate the body in terms of its constituent elements, how it's not something attractive, how it's not a self. And if we see that, then the mind will become awake. But in the beginning we don't have this clarity. And so we need to try to bring about the peace of samadhi, try to make the mind firm through meditation, and bring up this stable mind. In order to see the body clearly as it is, as anicca, dukkha, anatta. And then if we see it break apart, then there's this inner knowing, and we feel like the mind is empty and spacious, and that it's able to gain this understanding, able to separate out from its objects and becomes empty. So here the mind has wisdom and it won't cling to any physicality or mentality. And this is an extremely good state for us to experience. That there's this emptiness, this lightness, this ease in the mind, there's an absence of anger, hatred, ill will. There's no delight towards the bodies of anyone, no delight towards our own bodies. And the mind becomes purer little by little. We see the Dhamma, see the Buddha little by little. And in the end, we see with complete clarity. And it's really incredible, this very deep knowing, an understanding into the nature of the Dhamma, a knowing of the Dhamma. And when we truly know the Dhamma, this is immensely incredible. And so this is the path that takes us to knowing the Dhamma, to attaining to the Dhamma. But in the beginning we need to persist, we need to put in our efforts to endure. So when we have faith already, then we bring up this heart of sincerity and really focus on this practice. So don't throw away your efforts. Having this firm faith already, then use that to be developing mindfulness. So when we talk about effort, well, what is that effort? It's the effort of being mindful. So really try to do this. And you have this good opportunity to have this time to practice now. So speak little, sleep little. When you are eating, then be mindful. When you're doing your chores and activities, then be mindful. Listening to the Dhamma, be mindful. And great goodness, benefit arises from this. And so we're on the fifth day of this retreat now, and perhaps some peace is beginning to emerge in your heart. We started on the sixth, and then now the seventh, eighth, ninth, and the tenth. So this peace may be starting to come up, the scatteredness of mind maybe starting to reduce. And then when this reduces, mindfulness is able to become very firm and integrated with the mind. So when that happens, then we steadily increase the knowledge and our understanding of reality. That this becomes better, we gain more intelligence. But we need to have effort for this to happen. And carry on putting in your efforts without stopping. And if you do that, then you will see the Dhamma for sure. So the more mindfulness you have, the better. If you're, every time that you're mindful, you move closer to the Buddha. And the Buddha is the one who knows, the awakened one, the joyful one. So by seeing the Dhamma, we see the Buddha. And the genuine Buddha is in the Dhamma. Because you have this quality of mindfulness, this sati Dhamma. And then as we have that, and then panya dhamma, this quality of wisdom arises. So may you cultivate these. In the beginning we have faith. And this faith then leads us to effort and sincerity, which then leads us to gaining a wisdom, a thorough all-round knowing of all conditioned things. It leads us to samadhi as well, kanaka samadhi, this minor form of samadhi, upajara samadhi, this neighborhood samadhi. And if we can gain well-established samadhi, then we will know and see with clarity. But there's no need to worry, is it necessary to be in a state of jhana? There's no need to think about that, to talk about that. Just be mindful in the present moment. To try to do your best in the present moment. Be the most mindful that you can. And when you do this, then you will gain an understanding of the body. And then the mind will become peaceful. The mind's peaceful, you come back to contemplate the body again. This body which we cling to is being me, as being something which is permanent and constant, as being a source of happiness. And so we really firmly cling onto that. But who is it that attaches to the body? It's delusion that attaches. But if knowledge comes up, then we let go of the body. So when we have this mindfulness and wisdom, then we're able to release our grasp on this body. So today you've been practicing for a number of days already. It's the fifth day now. So may you continue to set your hearts on this practice, and may you be very, very mindful.